Hi, this is Martin Casals, a.k.a. Marty the Moth from Lucha Underground, and you're watching the Oversell Podcast.
It is episode 113, and we are talking all the big news in professional wrestling. Get ready. This is the Oversell Podcast! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Oversell Podcast. My name is Derek.
I'm Mike.
And we are here to talk a little professional wrestling, and I just realized the effect has been on this entire time.
Yay.
So, we'll just keep it.
Yeah, why not?
Be sure you're following us on Twitter. We are at Oversell Podcast, facebook.com/Oversell Podcast. Check out the website, www.oversellpod.com. And while you're there, check out the Amazon link. There's no extra fees or hidden fees or anything like that. It's just you shopping on Amazon like you already would. And we just get a small kickback on anything sold through our link. Christmas is here again. It seems like every time I talk about the link, Christmas is here. I don't know if it's just me.
It always is. Especially now that we're like, you know, a little over a week past Halloween.
Right.
It's full-blown Christmas season.
Yep. Do your shopping on Amazon.com, but get there through OversellPod.com and help us out. Mike, man, how you doing?
I'm all right.
Good, good, good.
Feels like it's been forever since been here.
Yeah, which has only been like 2 weeks,
yeah,
but it does seem like a good bit of time away. I had a birthday this week. Hit the old big 3-6. Man, I'm getting up there in age.
You caught me.
Oh, no. For a year, I've caught you. For a few months. Yeah. So, it was a good birthday. We went down to New Orleans, saw the Bucks get their ass kicked.
Sounds like a fun time.
Yeah, but we ate a lot of good food. A lot of seafood. We went to this place called Mandina's in New Orleans.
Okay.
Me and Sarah, my friend, ordered these. It said it was stuffed shrimp.
Okay.
What we got was a crab cake with a shrimp stuffed into it.
So it was kind of backwards.
Yeah, but it was fucking delicious. And I couldn't even finish my plate. These things were so big.
You can't go wrong with like crab anything, just about.
Right. And then we ate at Bubba Gump's on Sunday. I'll be down. I think I'm going to be down in New Orleans again, say in
early April.
Early April of next year.
Mm-hmm.
So checking out WrestleMania.
So that's only like a couple weeks away.
Yeah, it feels like it.
Yeah.
It's going to work out. I'm going to go hang out with my cousin all week. We're going to watch a little WrestleMania and who knows what other wrestling shows we're going to get into.
They'd have an NXT show there.
Yeah. Their NXT's coming to Memphis.
Yeah. And what, December?
16th.
Yeah.
December 16th. I forgot to get tickets. Oh, I'm probably just going to have to do general admission. Oh, well. That's worth it.
I'll have to check and see if I have a game or not.
If not, we should go together.
Yeah.
And that'll be fun. It's a really good show.
Because Raw's coming back in January.
Yeah, Raw's coming back in January. NXT, I mean, starting to treat Memphis like a big deal again, I hope.
Yeah.
But we shall see. And one day we're going to get the Royal Rumble. One day.
It'd be nice.
It's going to happen. I'm going to be pumped. Man, there has been a lot going on in the world of professional wrestling this week. Where do you want to start?
Probably with the most important thing that happened in the last couple weeks. The release of Emma.
Yeah, that was sad.
Yeah.
I know. If she would have kept the cooking show going, she could have gotten herself over.
Yeah. I mean, it worked for fucking Zack Ryder.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry for your loss, Mike. We wish her all the luck in her future endeavors.
Now it's time to pursue her online and get her as an interview. Because they're easier to get when they're out with WWE.
That is your mission. You would tweet her every day.
I will do that.
And if you like this podcast and you want to hear her on it, hey, send her your tweets. Hey, go on the Oversell Podcast. Talk to Derek and Mike. They're good people. Mike is a huge Emma fan, and we'll try to keep him under control during that.
And if you can mention that if you want, just don't make it sound like uber creepy to where she doesn't want to do the show.
Right. Mike was really enamored with her cooking show.
I was just enamored with seeing her more than I was seeing her on Raw.
I mean, it's just incredible the talent turnover they're starting to have right now.
But, you know, also on the same note, they released Summer Rae and Darren Young as well.
And you know what's funny about the Darren Young release? These guys were all over the whole you know, he comes out of the closet and he's getting all this support from Stephanie McMahon and everything like that. And, you know, that creates a natural push they could have done with him. And, you know, they did the whole make Darren Young great again, which was
a complete failure.
So stupid. So stupid. Anytime you get Bob Backlund involved in things now, it's not going to, I don't think it's going to end well.
Because it seemed like nowadays it seems like he's lost. Anytime he is on TV, he is just lost. I don't know if he's just like, you know, milking the character and, you know, adding, you know, age as a factor to it, that he's getting like senile or something into the character. But, I mean, there was a couple times on there. I remember when there was one segment they had or something. He had to be told, you know, no, it's, you know, it's live. We got to keep going.
With Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
I love that. That was hilarious because the look on Kurt Angle's face is like,
yeah,
really?
It was like a old Sid Vicious moment.
Yeah, like, we're live, pal. I'm two times the man you are, and I have half the brain you do. Yeah, Kevin Nash and Scott Hall in the ring laughing their ass off at that one. Yeah, that sucks for the releases. You know, they tried to do the whole Emelina thing, and then they went back to her being Emma. And
they pushed that for how many weeks? Like, I mean, it was like 3 months.
Yeah.
And then they're like, no, she's just regular Emma.
Yeah, well, it's just she wasn't being her.
Yeah.
You know?
Apparently, she just couldn't get what they wanted to do.
Right, which it seemed like it was a stupid idea anyway. She was a great wrestler. Mm-hmm. Why not have her just be that?
Yeah. And it's really odd that they released her, you know, after the whole Asuka thing. I mean, had a couple matches with Asuka, and then all of a sudden, yeah, you're released.
What do you think about, speaking of all that stuff, Lio Rush?
Yeah.
What a fucking idiot. Come on, man. You got to be smarter than that. These people...
Seems like he's not going to last.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I granted, he is just a kid.
Right.
You know, he's probably 20-something years old, but... There's going to be some repercussions here. He's going to be dressing out, I think, outside the hallway for a while. Yeah. He's not. If there's any leadership in that NXT locker room, which I'm sure there is.
No, I'm sure there has to be.
So.
And if not, I mean, word's going to get to Triple H, and that shit's going to be shut down real quick.
Yeah. And you just got to be smarter than that. Sometimes, just think, should I hit send?
Yeah.
Maybe. Just should I?
Should I sell this powerbomb off a ladder?
Yeah, should I sell a tombstone off the second rope? Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. But yeah, you got to be smarter when you're with your tweets now, especially when you're under such a microscope like the WWE is.
Oh yeah.
So, sucks. I hate that she got released. I did like Emma. So, hopefully we'll get her on this podcast and have some fun with
her. That's the goal.
Yeah, cuz I'm still the one that got her to go eat Central Barbecue.
Yeah. And see, that's another way we can...
Yeah, I want to ask...
It's another selling point.
When Mike gets her on the show, I'm going to ask, so did you like Central Barbecue when you came down to Memphis? Let's see. Where do you want to go from there? What did you think of James Ellsworth, their WWE really having their first true intergender match?
I mean, I thought it was kind of pointless, but, you know, it's just more of... He's just comedic act. I mean, he kind of replaced Santino.
Yeah.
He's just going to be that role.
But did Santino ever do a true intergender match, a man versus a woman? I can't remember the WWE ever doing. Well, I guess China.
Well, he did the whole
intergender match.
Didn't he do the whole, what was he like, Santina or something?
Yeah.
He won a match against, you know, it was like a multi-person match, but he won it dressed as...
Santina.
Yeah, or something, if that was the name he used. I don't remember.
And of course, her Vina.
Yeah.
And so I guess they have done them before. But this was, you know, in China, you know, she wrestled men.
Oh, yeah.
Very, you know.
And won the Intercontinental title on a couple occasions.
Not there, but I thought it isn't crazy that was on WWE television. You know, that's something they, you know, it's very rarely used, the whole intergender match.
Oh, yeah.
So, I thought it was good. I thought it was a good match. You know, seemed like Becky was kind of a step ahead in the match than James was.
Perfectly believable.
James just seemed a little slower than Becky Lynch. Maybe that's just me. Maybe not. Let's see. Raw this week. What happened on Raw that was big this week? Did the Cruiserweight title change?
No, it didn't, but the tag titles did.
That's right. Because of the New Day.
Yeah.
So that's going to set up the Shield versus New Day at Survivor Series.
Yeah. They're saying Roman is cleared now and should return, you know, Monday.
That could be an interesting match.
I don't know what I think about it. I mean, like, I'm not really all that hyped about it. I mean, I'm glad the Shield's back together, but it's almost like the whole Shield thing has been kind of tainted. How they get all these house shows and stuff, they've just been throwing in random people to join them.
Yeah, the Triple H thing was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was funny. Especially the one where they all did the suicide dive and he just gingerly stepped over the ropes like, nope,
not going to do it.
But now they've had, you know, Kurt Angle join them, AJ Styles, Triple H, and they had Samoa Joe help them, I think, last night.
Huh. That is interesting.
I mean, it's going to be a good match, whatever they do.
I think it's going to be very entertaining. I mean, look what New Day did with the Usos at the last pay-per-view at Hell in a Cell.
Oh, yeah.
Great match. I mean, I think it's kind of a dream match.
I mean, I'm a fan of both, but I'm just really not all that hype about this match for some reason.
I just want a true stable in the WWE. 4 to 6 people on a team.
Right.
And I want them to be the biggest wrecking ball in the WWE.
Kind of what the Wyatt family should have been.
Right. They had a chance to make that huge, and they didn't.
Especially when they added Braun Strowman.
Yep. Who's killing it right now.
Yep.
Who's killing it. Let's see. What else happened on Raw this week?
Brought out Pete Dunne.
Yeah, that was a good match. I'm happy Pete Dunne, I was in the UK. I don't know. And they brought the UK division to 205 Live this week as well. So I don't know if that's just because they were in England last week or... If they need to inject it with a little bit of life in there, that's what they have to do is bring over the UK guys.
Yeah.
Because who was it, Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne for the WWE UK Championship?
I think so.
That's the best looking title that the WWE has right now. Let's see. Anything else from Raw?
Going off memory here. I think they finalized the Raw men's tag team for Survivor Series, which is pretty brutal. It's Kurt Angle, Braun Strowman, Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, and Jason Jordan, which...
If Jason Jordan's the reason they win, I'm really going to be hot, because...
Me and my friend John were talking about it and thinking that they should have, if they wanted to have Jordan involved, which they're really high on him, but he's just boring to me.
Do what? There's an ad playing, so no. I didn't hear what you just said.
They're obviously really high on Jason Jordan, but he's really boring to me.
To me, he's the same way.
But friend John and I were talking. If they wanted to have him involved, they didn't have to necessarily put him in the match. They could have had, Elias be the fifth member and then have Jason Jordan interfere, accidentally cost them the match then. Or it could still happen that way, only Elias comes in and interferes, picking on Jason Jordan, and then Jason Jordan accidentally cost him. I could see him, knocking out Kurt Angle or something accidentally, and maybe that giving some sort of life to his character. But that's still a couple weeks away.
So they're giving Asuka now the whole, she's going to be beaten on jobbers here.
Yeah.
Until
they bring Emma back so she can have a real match.
Oh, here we go. Emma's going to become, who is somebody, I don't know if there's ever been a guy I've released that I've just hated that the WWE let him go. So I can't make an analogy there. Let's see. She beat Stacy Coates. Looks like Sasha Banks and is now on the Raw women's team.
Right.
So let's see, who's that shaping up to be?
Should be Alicia Fox, Nia Jax, Sasha, and who else did they put on there? Did Bayley get on as well?
I guess. Banks, but not Bayley.
And then I don't think they have a fifth one yet.
Okay, Banks, but not Bayley, has been added to the team. More likely, who else is in the Raw women's division that they could add that's not in the title match, which is Alexa Bliss and Natalya, right? And I love what Alicia Fox doing with the whole captain outfit. That's hilarious to me. She's just fucking nuts. Let's see.
I mean, you would think if there's still the spot at Mickie James.
Yeah. The Raw women's division just seems...
But they've been talking about, you know, Paige is on her return. They were saying she was going to SmackDown, but it's possible she could come in.
That'd be an interesting way to bring her back. Yeah. Like, oh, we've got our fifth member.
Because I know it's still a couple weeks away, but, you know, we'll do predictions on that show or whatever. But, like, just looking at the teams, you know, is it guaranteed that, you know, Raw would win with Asuka? Or do they have her somehow lose some way, but, well, she's never been pinned in one-on-one or something like that?
That's a good point.
Because Asuka she is on the team. That was the other one I was forgetting.
I knew she had been put on the team. Let's see. Pete Dunne defeated Enzo Amore. Alexa Bliss called out Natalya. I like how Alexa Bliss is calling Natalya a crazy cat lady because Natalya pretty much is a crazy cat lady. I did like the Under Siege and the Raw roster freak out, and then that caused the title change.
Right.
Thought that was good. Move over to SmackDown. Holy shit. Can you believe that before a major four pay-per-view where you're supposed to have a champion take on a champion and you have a new world heavyweight champion?
Yeah. And then they just did it the night before with the tag champs.
Right.
I mean, that switched up the card right there for the pay-per-view.
Well, thank God we didn't do early predictions or something. So, we got AJ Styles beating the modern-day Maharaja, Jinder Mahal.
Yep.
To win the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. And now that actually gets me excited for the world title match at Survivor Series, the champion versus champion match. That I think, is going to be a great match.
And it was something else special about it. I forgot exactly how long it's been, but that was the first time in however many years that WWE title has changed hands not on American soil.
Wow. I never even realized that. That's crazy.
I forgot. I saw it online. I don't remember exactly how many years it was, but I mean, it's been a long, long time.
I don't think this is the end for Jinder Mahal. I really don't.
I hope it's not.
I bet you he gets involved in that match somehow at Survivor Series. I doubt he wins it back because I think AJ and Brock are going to be able to put together a pretty good match, at least with AJ Styles in it, than Brock could do with Jinder Mahal. Your thoughts?
I'm just worried that they're going to do another Brock match, though.
Oh, AJ. Yeah, you know, the 16 German suplexes, because it's the only move he can do.
And then he'll, you know, AJ kick out a couple times, and then
1F5
puts him out. Because, I mean, you know, no offense to AJ Styles, but, you know, that's how it went with Braun Strowman. And if that's all it takes to put down Braun Strowman, it should take far less than that to put down AJ Styles, no matter how great he is.
Yep, I agree. That's going to be, I think Survivor Series is actually shaping up to be a pretty solid card.
It should be pretty good. I still hate the fact that, you know, no titles are on the line.
No, yeah, and this is a chance. They could have made like a unified traveling champion.
Yeah. On this, I mean, they could have done something, but.
Like, here's what I would like to see. One world heavyweight champion that travels between shows.
Right.
One women's champion travels in between shows. And I think I would keep the IC title on Raw, keep tag champs on Raw, and then keep the US and tag champs on SmackDown. Cruiserweight, does anyone really care about the Cruiserweight title anymore?
Not right now. Not
until Pete Dunne wins it. When Pete Dunne wins it, people go fucking
unless
nuts.
Neville comes back.
Yeah, well, or Ray, he comes back until Ray, which he's going to be wrestling in Memphis coming up soon.
Yeah, I saw that.
December 9th, he's going to be wrestling for Memphis Elite Lucha Libre Wrestling, or Memphis Lucha Libre Wrestling. That's looking like a fucking stacked card.
Yeah.
Rey Mysterio, Pentagon Jr.
Yep.
Pentagon fucking Jr. I'm going to meet Pentagon Jr. I am so excited. Me and my boy Josh McClain, we're going to be there, probably sitting in the front row. Oh, we're going to sit where lights aren't flashing into our fucking eyes the whole night either. But Drago's on that show too. And Thunder Rosa, who was, I think she's Cobra Moon in Lucha Underground. So that's a hell of a stacked card for a local Memphis show.
Yeah.
So awesome. I'm really excited for that. We had Committed to Wrestling Friday night. That went pretty good. Wait. No, we haven't recorded since the last Committed to Wrestling show. Bishop Cage is no longer your Committed to Wrestling champion. He lost it to Chris Lex.
Yeah, I saw that online.
That was fucking insane. And they had this match with a dude named Crazy Jack, who seemed more interested in talking to this skull he brought to the ring than wrestling in the match. Samoan Raja wrestled at the show. And let's see, who else wrestled? Who else? Aria Alexander had a great match with Holly Matlock, or as she likes to be called, Holly. Holly. You had to put the emphasis on the hall.
Okay.
But we had a fun show there. It was at a new place over near Raleigh, Egypt. So, folks, go check out these Committed Wrestling shows. We need to make this grow. Let's see. My commentating partner is going to be wrestling at the next show, which is November 17th, which I believe is next Friday.
Yes.
And what's November 17th?
The Punisher series is coming out.
Oh, jeez.
And Justice League.
Oh, my goodness. And I got committed to wrestling. But he's going to be wrestling Aria Alexander for a date.
Okay.
Hopefully, I'm going to get involved so this guy loses, because he's not in the same class as Aria Alexander. So hopefully they'll let me get involved to jump up on the ring. Hey, Kay, whoa. What are you doing? And he gets rolled up. And
yeah.
I think if he wins, he gets $500 and he gets a date with Aria Alexander.
Yeah, at least you have something to pay for.
If he loses, I don't know what's going to happen to him. so we shall see. Max Stone, who I saw wrestle for MACW up in Arkansas, wrestled Samoan Raja, and that was a good match. I probably have these matches saved somewhere. But it was a good show. I like working with Committed to Wrestling, doing their commentary when we have cameras there, which we didn't last time. So got to fix that part.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a lot of fun. Anything else you want to talk about, Mike, before we get to some other big news? Anything WWE related?
Not WWE, but Impact.
Okay.
Has been one of the storylines with Impact right now that I think is really great. Bobby Lashley and has been feuding with Moose. And Bobby Lashley's been talking about leaving wrestling and just doing MMA, and because he trains in MMA with American Top Team, like one of the biggest MMA, groups ever. And they've been feuding with Moose, and they've actually brought in like guys from American Top Team and like the owner, Dan Lambert. And Dan Lambert's like apparently a huge wrestling fan, so that's kind of how he got involved in this. But he's a great heel, and he is damn good on the mic, which is amazing. You wouldn't, just somebody coming in just for this kind of program. I mean, he's really impressed me on
the mic. Those MMA guys, they're surprisingly all of them are good on the mic.
Yeah, but like, I mean, you can tell that he's been a fan and like knows, he knows promos. Like, you can just tell that.
Yeah.
Because it was either this past week or the week before. He came in there, cut a promo in the ring, and they were talking about how, he was talking to the fans about how, yeah, I'm just the guy that's trying to kill wrestling. And he's like, I'm the biggest wrestling fan you'll ever meet. And he's like, you know, all these, you know, guys that collect titles and all these replica belts, I have the real ones. And he was pulling out just title after title. He was like, you know, remember when Jerry Lawler won this title back in so-and-so? This is it right here. I have it. It's like, you remember when Bruno Sammartino won his first title? Here it is right here. I have it. And pulled out like five or six of them. And, you know, Moose has been, basically he was getting beat down by him because it's, you know, Bobby Lashley and like five or six other guys. So he called in some help, and it's somebody that you're kind of familiar with, Stephen Bonner.
Oh, good. Awesome. I've always been a Stephen Bonner guy.
Yeah.
I've always liked him.
So he's come in, helped Moose out.
They say watch out for flying knee, but I'm not going to get hit with any flying knee. He got lucky in that last fight when he hit it, but I'm not going to be hit by no flying knee.
But yeah, he's been teaming with Moose, and they went to actual American Top Team's gym and like destroyed it. I mean, like, stole all their title belts that they had in glass cases and just destroyed the whole building. And then, of course, they got destroyed, you know, the next night for that. But they actually had a match this past weekend at Bound for Glory, which is, like, their
their
WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was going to say, let's do a better analogy. It's their Starcade.
Yeah, it's their Starcade. But that feud's still going. They had Bobby Lashley teamed up with King Mo against Moose and Stephen Bonner, and Lashley and them won because of American Top Team interference. But it's a fun, it's one of the fun feuds to watch.
Well, I'm good. It's cool because like I said, I've always been a fan of Stephen Bonner. I love Matt Riddle.
Yeah.
And a lot of these MMA guys that are coming over, I think it's really exciting. Mm-hmm. I think it's really exciting. Yeah. Now, here's a threat I'm going to make. Joe Rogan, if during your UFC broadcasts you keep saying fake wrestling, I'm going to slap you in the face really hard. When it just ticks me off when he says fake wrestling. Because I would love for someone like Joe Rogan to put his body through what professional wrestlers put their body through seven days a week.
Well, I mean, he should just have that conversation with Brock Lesnar, who's done both.
Yeah. Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley.
He should, you know, Dan Severn, Steve Blackman.
Shamrock.
Yeah, talk to all those guys. Yeah. And I'll tell you, they're a lot tougher than you are, you fucking asshole. God, I hate Joe Rogan.
Was it Barnett?
Yeah, Jason Barnett.
Yeah.
That does the New Japan stuff with Jim Ross. Yes, yes. So, yeah, but that takes me. That was just a quick side note I had to make. So I hear your boy is back in Impact Wrestling.
Which one?
Your boy. Sarcastically, your boy.
Oh, yeah.
Alberto Del Patron.
Yeah, he's apparently back as a heel.
Yeah, he came back and said he was unjustly suspended and stuff like that.
Which is kind of funny because when he was suspended, he was like, yeah, I graciously do this. I understand this isn't the, you know, the ways of a champion and all that. And, you know, he was all polite about it. And then they bring him back all pissed off that it wasn't right.
Yeah. And I hear they're moving their everything up to Canada now.
No, they've at least said they're doing more shows and more work in Canada. But I think they're still primarily working out of the Orlando area.
Okay. All right.
But, you know, more and more people are just leaving there.
Yeah, yeah. It's a sad situation.
Yeah.
It really is. So it sucks because it seemed like they were starting to gain a little bit of ground, and then Jeff Jarrett gets super drunk at a show or whatever, like an asshole, and just screws the whole pooch.
Yeah. And it's weird because, like, that place is just so in flux of anything that's going on because, you know, Global Force comes in and they're like joint promotion, and then Global Force supposedly like is in control of them. So it was like Global Force Wrestling presents Impact, and then all that falls apart. Like their title was actually the global, I want to say it was like the Global Force World Impact Champion or something like that. But, you know, Global was in the name, And now I don't know if it's in the name or not, since Global Force isn't a part of it at all.
I think it's just going back. It's straight back to Impact.
Just Impact, yeah.
What a mess. Yeah. What a mess for that company. And, you know, the one guy that probably could have helped them rise even more, Billy Corgan, you know, they fucked that whole deal up. And he could have been, I think he could have been a great asset for that company. We'll see where they go, though. We'll see where
another
they go.
Weird thing, apparently, like I haven't watched Bound for Glory, but they had a triple threat for the Knockouts title. It was Gail Kim, Sienna, and Allie. Mm-hmm. And Gail Kim wins, and this is like her swan song. You know, she announced, you know, this is her last year of wrestling. And they put the title on her, and then apparently the next night she comes out and she just gives up the title. She's like, you know, don't really need this right now, and just took the title off of her, and now they're having another tournament for the Knockouts champion. But I don't understand why you would have her win it just to give it up. I mean, it wasn't any kind of injury, or it's not like she's leaving now. It's just they had her drop it.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that either. Anything else from Impact?
Just a lot of weird stuff.
Like?
All of the things I've said.
Oh.
It just gets weirder from there.
Okay. Well, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to get into some of the other big news that I'm really excited to talk about. Stick around. This is the Oversell Podcast. That sound you heard was probably one of the craziest moments, and it's the 20-year anniversary of the Montreal Screwjob. I didn't screw Brett. Brett screwed Brett. Wow. That did so much for wrestling, if you think about it. One, that was the true beginnings of the Mr. McMahon character. It kind of broke that wall of wrestling that at the time the WWE did not want to break. Basically they broke kayfabe that night. You started seeing, you saw the stuff backstage, and Vince McMahon got spit on, got punched in the, got knocked out later that night. It was just crazy. The next night you saw Bret Hart on WCW television, which who would have ever thought they would have seen that? You know, that's like seeing almost was like seeing The Undertaker on WCW television. You just weren't really prepared to me, I wasn't prepared to see it, because I've always, I remember always being a fan of Bret Hart.
Yeah.
And he was just synonymous with the WWE. And now he's with WCW. That whole thing was crazy. I just remember watching that pay per view. Like, what is going on here? Brett didn't look like Brett tapped out.
Yeah,
to me.
He never tapped, and you know, all of a sudden they're telling him to ring the bell, and he rings the bell, and then you know, nothing looked right.
Yeah, it just seemed very, very strange ended, and man, it's just. The consequences of, you know, have, or the ramifications of it have been felt, I think, even to this day.
That night was some of the best selling by Shawn Michaels ever, because you truly believed he had no idea what was going on.
Right. Yeah. The one time Shawn Michaels sells like a champ.
Yeah.
Was when, he really didn't know what was going on. Yeah. Good job, Shawn. Good job. good job, Triple H. You actually sold someone for a change.
Yeah.
So,
but that changed a lot for a long time.
Yeah, you know, was the Attitude Era had started by then, or did that kind of usher us into the Attitude Era?
No, I think it was, you know, because NWO had happened, you know, a year before that, basically. Mm-hmm. So I think we were still in the beginning stages of the Attitude Era.
Yeah, that was like a major rocket up the ass of the Attitude Era. That really got the momentum going. And Yeah.
I mean, seeing him just stand in the ring and do WCW, you know, just...
And
it was crazy.
Seeing him, that he was on the next night on Monday Night Nitro. There's something else I wanted to bring up. By the DVD they did on it between, the whole Bret Hart DVD. Yeah. I was so happy when they said they were going to make it. And then when that was a day one get that I had to have that as soon as it came out.
Oh, yeah.
And it was great seeing him and, you know, Shawn Michaels working on the same project. You know, it took years for Bret Hart to get over that, as it should have, because
it was what, like 12 years or something, I think.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
And Bret had every right to be upset. He gave his heart, he gave everything he had to that company, and for them to think he would show up on Monday Night Nitro with the WWE title, I think Bret is the type, he had at that time the type of character, he wouldn't have done something like that. He wasn't going to do the Medusa drop it in the trash,
right,
or something like that.
Right.
He had too much character. He loved the wrestling business. He was, you know, he grew up in the wrestling business. I think he would have enough respect for a title to not drop it in a trash, and B, respect for the business to act professional. Unlike Shawn Michaels, who was just a fucking turd.
Yeah. But wasn't it partly on Bret, too, because he was refusing to drop the title?
Well, he didn't want to lose in Canada.
So
right. If Survivor Series would have been in any other location other than his hometown in Canada, he would have dropped it, I'm sure, without a problem.
Right.
And I get that. You know, he is the Canadian hero at that time. They didn't have much. They're still America's hat. I'm sorry, just kidding. Before our neighbors up there to the north, I don't really think you're our hat. We love you here at the Oversell Podcast. But I think if it would have been any other series, he had no problem dropping the title normally. But you know, you don't want to lose in your hometown. You know, and WWE still to this day doesn't care about people going to their hometown and losing.
No.
Sasha can go to, where's she from? Boston.
Yeah.
I think she's lost a title there. Bayley's lost in her hometown.
They beat up JR in Oklahoma.
Yeah. So, you know, I get it. He was trying to protect himself in his own country. I have no problem with that. I don't think he was being difficult to work with. Like I said, he gave everything to that company. And, they just sold him down the river there.
By refusing to, I mean, even if you... you know, side with him on his reasoning. I mean, still, you know, the boss says this is what we're doing, and he refused to do it. And granted, both parties were pretty much in the wrong in the way they handled it, but, you know, like I said, you know, the boss, what the boss says is supposed to go.
Hey, speaking of doing what the boss says, did you hear about KO and Sammy?
Yeah.
Getting sent home from the European tour because they didn't want to do what they didn't want to stay in the ring and catching butt kicking from the New Day.
That was the initial reports, but now there's stuff coming in saying that that's not true. And because there was reports that like KO was pissed off on the bus afterwards and was getting on a lot of people's nerves, and that was part of the reason. But then other reports came in saying he wasn't even on that bus, and that was all made up. And it's hard to tell exactly what it is now.
To me, this has work written all over it.
Yeah.
Because they were never a part of the SmackDown title match. So one of two things are going to happen. They're going to beat up Shane during Survivor Series, or they're going to turn and help Team SmackDown lose that match. Did you see who was added to that match for Team SmackDown?
Yeah, Cena.
Yeah, John Cena. Did we talk about that?
No.
Yeah, apparently he's going to be the final member of Team SmackDown taking on Team Raw.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
I did see that the youngest person on Team SmackDown is Randy Orton at 37 years old.
Fuck. Why I think you just brought that up to spite me. Just to spite me.
It just happened to be him, but I mean, it was just more of a thing of how old everybody is on Team SmackDown.
Yeah.
And then you've got, you know, some of the younger guys. I mean, you still've got a pretty good age.
We still have Kurt Angle, who's getting
Samoa
up there.
Joe.
Samoa Joe. Finn Balor is no spring chicken either.
No, he's been around for a while.
And Jason Jordan
is going to be the youngest.
Yeah. But, yeah, so to me, you know, people are saying, people are saying it's not a work. To me, it just seems like it's screaming, this is a work.
Right.
To get them over as more heels. Now, granted, I know they're big fans of that guy, Jimmy Jacobs.
Yeah.
That got fired for...
Who he has showed up on Impact now.
Oh, really?
That was something else, yeah.
Okay.
He's already a part of
See,
Impact.
See, he's going to start making money off this deal.
if they can pay him.
Well, that's true. well, see, you know, I get, if he wanted to take a picture with his friends, that's fine. Take a picture of your friends. Don't post it on social media when they are opponents of the company.
Right.
That, you know, they're not.
They're quote unquote rivals.
Right. So the WWE, was it an overreaction? Probably. But should he have posted the pictures on social media of him and the Young Bucks and the Bullet Club? Probably not.
And that was probably, you know, the last straw type thing. I mean,
maybe the guy had been producing great angles, I think.
Yeah, I mean, but it could have been, there could have been more stuff that we don't know, you know, backstage. And that was like, okay, yeah. Well, here's finally the good reason where we can get him out of here. But it may have been the only thing, and they're just really petty. We know
Vince is a very petty.
Yeah.
Cease and desist, you know. Hey, they did something that we did to WCW back in the day. Let's get their asses.
Yeah.
So.
But the whole KO and Sami Zayn thing, I mean, it could actually be legit, but it's just blown out of proportion. Like, you know, Nia Jax taking some time off, you know, that was reported tons of stuff.
I think she was, we didn't mention her in the Smack or the women's Raw women's.
Yeah. She's on there.
Yep. So, I don't know. Something in the back of my head saying it's still a work. It's not real. It's just a work. That's just me. Maybe I'm wrong. You can tweet us at Oversell Podcast and tell us what you think about the whole Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. The news that they were being sent home was broken by Ryan Satin of Pro Wrestling Sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Go follow Ryan Satin. If you want the most up-to-date, reliable wrestling news, go find Ryan Satin, SATIN, on Twitter. That guy, I don't know who his sources are, but he has got very good sources. And whenever he reports on something, 98% it's correct. He doesn't put shit out there. He's not like Sportskeeda that just puts shit out there to see if it sticks. The guy does his homework. And he follows through on his reports and you know, he makes sure all of his stories are correct. And he's just, he's a very, very good writer for professional wrestling. Hello, Lola. My dog just came and sat down right next to me and was putting her face in mine. She usually doesn't do this. So it screams work to me. I could be wrong. But something about it just tells me it's a work.
We'll know within a couple weeks.
Yep. We'll know at SmackDown, I would say. Let's see. How are we looking on time here? Do you need to get that?
No.
I'm just messing with you. So let's get to the biggest news of the day. This guy has a birthday today. I wish I was born one day later so I could share a birthday with not only my mother, but my favorite professional wrestler, Chris Jericho. Happy birthday, Chris Jericho. Yay! Woo! Not only is his birthday today, but my phone, Sunday morning, started blowing the fuck up with, did you see it? Did you watch New Japan? I was in New Orleans. I did not get to watch it. But I did see all the footage from it. And at Wrestle Kingdom 12 in January, you're going to have who is arguably, if not one, he's 1A or 1B with Okada as the best wrestlers in the world. Kenny Omega taking on one of the other greatest wrestlers in the world, Chris Jericho.
Yes.
I am so excited to watch Wrestle Kingdom this year.
You actually going to stay up and like watch that one live?
Probably not. Because I'd have to take the next day off, and I don't think my wife would allow that.
All right.
But I am so excited that I'm going to get to watch Chris Jericho and in a New Japan ring, and which makes me happy in several ways. One, you're going to see one of the best wrestlers in the world take on another one of the best wrestlers in the world,
right?
Omega versus Jericho. It also shows that New Japan Pro Wrestling is a legitimate top wrestling promotion. Chris Jericho is not going to work some indie fed that brings in, you know, 1,500 people every show or something like that.
Right.
His name is bigger than that. He is going to work with a top wrestling brand. New Japan Wrestling is not an independent wrestling promotion.
And he's wrestled there before, too. I mean, yeah, years and years ago.
He wrestled for War and Romance. I know that. I don't know if he wrestled. I think it was All Japan he wrestled for.
Okay.
I don't know if he ever wrestled. Maybe he did work with Ghetto.
I know he did because he posted a picture of when he was like tagging with Ghetto.
Maybe it was New Japan, but I know he wrestled for Wrestling and Romance, which was War. And I think he did All Japan too. Maybe I'm wrong. Correct me. I'm at Derek Oversell Podcast on Twitter. So yeah, very excited. I thought the promo they did, the way they introduced him was like,
yeah.
I like Kenny Omega saying, you know, this is the part of the show where some guy comes out and challenges me to a match at Wrestle Kingdom. So let's not wait. Let's see who it is. Come on, introduce yourself. And the people were just going nuts with Y2J on the screen in New Japan Pro Wrestling. I was stunned. So apparently he has been a free agent. He was working on a handshake deal.
Yeah.
With Vince, you know, Vince has got to be upset.
To his credit, though, Vince did. I mean, if Vince is in charge of his own Twitter account, he did wish Chris Jericho happy birthday today on Twitter.
Okay. You know, Chris Jericho has, I think, tons of respect and credit with the WWE. So
I liked one thing that Kenny Omega said when he was talking about Wrestle Kingdom. He was like, you know, everybody's saying, you know, for those that aren't familiar with New Japan, you know, Wrestle Kingdom is like our WrestleMania. And he's like, and I always correct them. I tell them WrestleMania is your Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, yeah. So I am really excited about this match. Did you see everything that transpired? Did you get to see any of it?
Not all of it. I mean, okay. I saw like Jericho's, you know, video promo.
Yeah,
and
rocking the dad haircut. Yeah. You know, he had his sunglasses on his head, everything pushed back, and
he was in full like Fozzie mode.
Yeah, yeah. So, Wrestle Kingdom 12, Jericho versus Omega. I haven't seen anything else on the card. I don't know who Okada's wrestling, but I'm sure it's going to be.
They're probably still ironing that out because I mean it's still a month and a half
away.
Whoever
won the G1 Climax usually wins a chance to face Okada at Wrestle Kingdom 12. Let's see if there's a card out there. Wrestle Kingdom 12.
On to the Google machine.
The Google. www.google.com. Give me money, Google. Let's see. Wrestle Kingdom 12. Looks like. Oh, shit. Here's a card so far.
Okay.
Tell me how awesome this card.
It's amazing, and I don't even know what it is yet.
Cody is taking on Kota Ibushi.
Okay.
That'll be a great match. Roppongi 3K, Sho and Yo versus the champion, the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champions taking on the Young Bucks. Marty Scurll, Hiromu Takahashi, Kushida, and Will Ospreay in a four-way match for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. Holy shit. Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Jay White for the IWGP Intercontinental Champion. Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho for the IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship. And the final match, which will be for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, Okada versus Naito.
Yeah.
Holy shit. That's a fucking hell of a card. My God, that is going to be so much. Now, barring the starting off, you're going to get the
six-man tag matches.
So you'll get to see, you'll have your, what's the guy's name? Toru Yano doing his stuff, the Gorillas of Destiny, and I'm sure
I'm sure there's going to be some special appearances too. Yeah, they'll have that like battle, they did last year.
That battle royal. That's where they usually bring those in.
Billy Gunn may make a return.
Billy Gunn. Who was the guy from the NWO? Scott. Scott. What was his name? Scott. Norton.
Remember.
Scott Norton. Scott Norton.
I can
he was in
the
last one.
Yeah.
Ngata and all those guys. You know, you're going to see that at the beginning of the show. But man, this card, that's a fucking good card. That's really all I have for this week. I'm so excited to see Jericho and Okada. Or Jericho. Jericho and Okada.
That would be great, too.
Jericho and Omega taking on each other for the IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship, which is a fucking awesome-looking title.
Mm-hmm.
Very good-looking title. So Mike, anything else you need to talk about?
If you haven't seen it, go see Thor Ragnarok. It's great.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good. It's really good. Not wrestling-related, but, you know, the Hulk is pretty much like a wrestler.
Yeah, basically.
So, folks, that's going to be it for this week. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. The easiest way to get to this podcast is to subscribe on iTunes and wherever podcasts are available. While you're there, leave a 5-star review. You've been listening to the...
No.
Oh, fuck. Jesus Christ. As we like to end every episode, we like to do Superstar of the Week. So, Mike, I ask you, who is your... Superstar of the Week!
Well, I know who yours is going to be.
You think?
Yeah. So
I'll do mine first then.
Okay.
Chris Jericho.
Yeah, of course. And just because of the announcement, I'm going with Kenny Omega.
Okay. So the two stars of Wrestle Kingdom 12. Folks, you've been listening to the Oversell Podcast.